Beloved brothers and sisters, starting today at the Divine Healing Meeting, I will share the message. I will do a sermon series from the 1994 two-week revival meeting. This message teaches us how we must prepare ourselves to receive answers and blessings. Today, we will learn the way to receiving healing and answers, which is saying words of faith and goodness. In contrast, we will also look at negative words that bring about trials, tribulations, and hardships. Continuing from the Sunday morning sermon about the plague of flies, I hope you realize how important your words truly are. And in the plague of flies, the evil in your heart is revealed as words of your mouth. Not just saying these words once or twice doesn't mean disaster, but as the evil is piled up, ultimately you meet a big disaster. We may not take it seriously, our words. We just said that. We may not take it seriously, but as these words pile up, it brings about the work of Satan. Moreover, may you discover the words that dishearten God and build the wall of sin, repent of them, and receive healing and answers. Repentance. You may feel burdened when you hear the word repentance. Repentance is actually, you know, as you, we look back on not living by the word, this is also repentance. And when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and Peter, "Don't wash my feet. As a master, you cannot wash my feet." And Jesus said the importance of washing, and Peter asked him to wash his whole body. And even though you don't commit great sins, major sin, you have to pray and repent and make yourself pure. And also, as you repent, and so when you hear the word repentance, don't be just burdened or distressed, but you are being washed, cleansed by the grace of the Lord. Think of this way. Hold on to the word. Discover your shortcomings and make yourself perfect. This is repentance. So when you discover the things I'm repent of, this is joyful. But there are also great walls of sin that relates to salvation. And there are also great sins that blocks the answers and blessings. So we have to repent of them thoroughly. And words of lips are like that, because your words of lips are now recorded. But angels know your words, and also God knows and remembers them. But you may not recognize those words. Remember those words. So you are suffering the trials and tribulations. So because you don't repent, your hardships are now resolved. You have to discover them. But the problem is, people don't remember their words. But as you remember, as you listen to this word, you have to humble yourself and if those words have hindered from God's work from working, you have to. And also from now on, it's important that you don't say words that build a wall of sin. those words of judgment, condemnation, and these are and you can some words you have to make sure to repent, remember and repent of, and but just those, if you in your words there are magnitude of sin. You have to figure out the magnitude of sin. There are things to repent of. So you have to accept these words. And don't just say, why does the church always tell us to repent? No, you have to be cleansed. You have to be more pure. In our daily lives, we speak many words. Some are necessary and beneficial, but others are unnecessary and worthless or even harmful. You may think, it was just something I said in passing, how could it cause harm? Then think carefully, haven't you also been hurt or troubled by someone else's words? Most of you must have. But if you say to the person who hurt us, I was troubled because of what you said, he might say he doesn't remember or he didn't mean it that way. Many of them would react, they don't even remember, and or say that they didn't mean it that way. Why were you offended by such a word? To him, it was just a passing comment or something he didn't consider a big deal. As we can see, many problems can arise between people because of words. But what's more serious is what happens in the spiritual realm. Just as the one who hurt you soon forgets their words, you may also not recognize how your words become sins or create a wall blocking answers and blessings. Even if you've forgotten what you said, the enemy heard it and brings trials and tortures through it. Your words, the enemy devil trap you with your words. And because of your words, they bring you disease, trial, and hardship. And this is proper according to the law of the spiritual realm. This is like, because you commit sin, they give you hardship. This is according to the spiritual law. But, and because of your words, so instead of thinking, these are my lips, can't I say whatever I want? Remember what Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. And may your lips be those that bring blessings. Hopefully, you realize that your lips and words gently, greatly influence your lives and serve as an important factor in receiving answers and blessings. As we talk about the importance of positive confessions and examples in the Bible where people suffered a curse because of their words, may you apply this to yourself and walk the path of answers and blessings. Now, I mean, I will talk about the words. I mean, I will explain a few cases that causes you to meet disasters or hardships. And the important thing is you have to solve your Brothers and sisters, people in the world often express their feelings without much thought. Their words include both positive and negative words like, I like it, I don't like it, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm tired, I'm struggling, it hurts, I feel like dying, and so on. When they feel weary, they easily say, I'm exhausted, or since life brings more negative situations than positive ones, people often end up speaking more negative words. People just say things without thinking. I'm so tired, I could die. After one sleepless night, this is killing me when something is hard, or you're driving me crazy when there is family trouble. Some speak worrying and negative words, even over small issues, causing concern to people around them. Others say, I can't do it, it's too hard, even when a little more effort would make it possible. But even those who've been quick to speak negative words change after they meet God. As they learn the truth, they realize a precious fact that all things happen according to what they confess, that is, according to their faith. So, a person who understands this and strives to change through the truth becomes increasingly positive. When difficulties, worries, or concerns arise, we shouldn't be quick to complain with our lips, but seek God's will and ask for His help with the prayer of faith. Then, even burdensome problems can be solved through God's answer. Even though we say we pray, if we still make negative confessions or lament over our reality, it's not easy to receive answers. But the Bible says that things are done according to our confession. We heard many of these words, but in your trials, in your hardships, what kind of confessions did you make? You have to check. We discussed correcting our wrong answers. You know, in the peaceful times, we may say positive words or words of gratitude, words of joy. But when God tests us, He looks at how we make confessions in difficult times. This is a test. In trials, what kind of words did we speak? What kind of actions did we show? This is how we truly look back on ourselves. And we may also still have a wall of sin because of the words we spoke at that time. Men of faith, even in trial, even in trouble, they look to God. That's how they can stay joyful. And they don't say negative words. And they don't... So people around them may say, oh, he's happy because he's in a good environment, because he has a family evangelization. She has no difficulty at all. That's why she's happy. But it's not because he doesn't have trouble. Because he has faith, because he just... So they don't say negative words out, and they try to discover God's will, and this is the faith, and this is the life of the man of faith. But what about you? You are a very honest person. You just say things honestly, everything. But, you know, when you look at the same thing, the man of faith and the ordinary man describe it different way. You know, if you look at things through color lens, you look at things differently. Like blue color lens, you see everything in blue. In yellow, everything in yellow. And when you look at your reality by faith, if you have faith, you just make a confession of faith. And then God works for you. And whenever you have trouble or difficulties or tests or trial, or you have get stricken with a disease, you may say, even while you are sick, even you may when sick people come to me, they have to exactly say where and how they are sick. This is a spiritual principle. I mean, when you request prayer, you have to, so you, and God is the creator of man. So this senior deaconess, she thought that her punctured eardrum, even the doctor said that it cannot be regenerated, but she thought that God would create it again. She made a confession, and she pleased God with her life. So God, as a result, worked for her. She fulfilled the justice. But just, I mean, just because you say words, that doesn't mean it's faith. But if you truly believe from the heart and say that through words, this is true, you in your trouble, you may say, I mean, you just say, as Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So this talks about a situation where you have something to be concerned about. So that's why in that situation, the Bible tells you to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. When there is thanksgiving on our lips, we can receive answers and send blessings. Even when we are lacking in capability or in trials, we confess, as in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. When our lips become positive like this, we don't feel tired and distressed. Rather, we will always overflow with joy and gratitude according to our confession. We will stay healthy and spirit-filled. As for me, when I have a trial or hardship, I try to guard my lips. So I try not to meet many people because I wanted to avoid complaining before people. But sometimes I had to meet my family. Sometimes I had to meet my mother. So I met her like once a week, and I ate out with her. But so I didn't want to lay any burden on her. I didn't want to cause any concern to her. When I was alone, I tried to discover God's will and try to have a peace of mind, peace of heart. So when I met Ms. Bong Lim Lee, and so I try to put a happy smile. I try to talk more joyful things. Like, I even though I heard some shocking news or some sad news, But when I met her, met Ms. Bong Lim Lee, I tried to put on a happy smile. And Ms. Bong Lim Lee, when she looked at me, she, even though I'm supposed to be in a difficult situation, I don't look distressed at all. I don't look sad at all. And it was so also Ms. Bong Lim Lee didn't ask me like so when we met we just talked about happy things or God's work or we talked about God's work among ourselves and Ms. Bong Lim Lee she said complimented me a lot describing how much she received grace and I also complimented her. So even in difficult times we encouraged each other, we cheered up each other. So we try to we also express our thanks because we have you, we are like. And even before she went to heaven, you say more compliments, and what about you? In difficult times, and even in the world, like when a husband business fails and goes bankrupt, and when a husband is in trouble, and he cannot handle those difficulties in business and his family finds out that the business is bankrupt but if they only talk about sad things or distressful things and if their faces are filled with concerns, this is what worldly people are like. But men of faith, even in difficult times, because they have faith in God, they can keep their smile, they can pray in faith, and then they can keep living, they can keep going. How good this is. If we have such a live a life of faith, and this is also key to making God work. As we press on with the confession of Mark chapter 9, verse 23, all things are possible to him who believes. We are living a life of trusting in God. Of course, just because we sit still and say positive words with our lips, this doesn't mean that God will help us and make everything possible. We definitely need best efforts, patience, and wisdom. To first choose how to think is the beginning of success. If you think negatively, I can't do it. I was born this way. Even if I try, nothing will change. Then you will not attempt or challenge anything. Or after you make some efforts, if things don't go as you hope, you will say, "See, I knew it would work," and give up halfway. But if you think, "I can do it, it will work if I try," you start off energetic and bold, and you can put in greater effort. If you continue encouraging yourself and keep trying, you can be on the path of success. This is the power of being positive. Yet, even with a positive mindset and your best efforts, life does not guarantee that everyone will achieve what they desire. So, worldly people say that we need luck. But it is not luck, but it is God's work. But for God's children, when they make positive confessions within faith, in other words, confessions of faith, they can receive answers and blessings 100% of the time.
The reason is, the Almighty God is with those who have faith and delights in their confessions of faith. So, He will make sure to answer them. The Bible gives countless examples of this. One well-known example is what happened after the 12 spies returned from spying out the land of Canaan. Joshua and Caleb did not focus on the visible reality, but made a God-centered confession of faith. When I talk about the importance of confessions of faith, I often mention the 10 spies from the Canaan. It is mentioned often. You may think, I know this word, but you have to check whether you belong to the 10 spies or Joshua and Caleb. In your life, in the church, or in your past, what kind of confession did you make? Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies? Or the people who were confused by the reports from the 10 spies? You have to know exactly what you belonged and have to tear down the wall of sin and repent. You shouldn't just pass it. Then it doesn't help you. The 10 spies, they all of them saw the same land. For 40 days, they spied out the land of Canaan. 12 spies saw the same land at the same time. But the 10 of them gave a completely different report from the Joshua and Caleb's. They all said that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. All of them said that it was a good land, blessed land. But after that, they said, but the inhabitants of the Canaan, the citizens of Canaan, they are taller than us, stronger than us. So it is impossible for us to take the land. And hearing that, but Joshua and Caleb said, no, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And if God is with us, we can take that land. Everyone, this is faith. This is the difference between having faith and not having faith. They all saw the land at the same time. But there are people who made a God-centered faith and made a negative report. And what about us? About God's work? God doesn't tell us to do... doing easy thing is not obedience. Doing impossible is obedience. Faith is not something doing easy. It's not something doing possible. But it is doing something, making something impossible possible. This is the work of the faith. But people say, if something is hard, I cannot do it. This is not faith. So they cannot see the work of God. Even after they lead a Christian life for 10 years, 20 years, even if they are elders and pastors, when we are peaceful, everyone seems to have faith. But in difficult times, if in times of trouble, the test of faith is revealed when we are in trouble. So what kind of confession did you make at that time? You have to discover that. This is... In doing so, you can discover the reason why you haven't received the answers and blessings. And Joshua and Caleb said, they declared, if the Lord is pleased with us, He will give us the land, and even said, they will be our prey. And the 10 spies made a completely different report. They said that in their eyes, we will be like locusts. They are tall people, strong people, and we are like locusts. You know, locusts are killed if they are trampled on. They describe themselves as such. And they said, that land will swallow us. And if we go there, we'll be killed. They didn't have God. They should have made a God-centered faith. They should have said, if God is with us, if God works with us, impossible things will be made possible. God didn't send them to take the land by their own strength or wisdom.
And and in the history of the church. So what kind of confession did you make? And what kind of person were you? Were you like the 10 spies? Because of their report, people began to complain, began to lament. People began to shed tears. They began to complain, saying like, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt. Why did Moses lead us into this land? Why did he let us die here? People from here and there began to complain and lament. So you shouldn't pay attention to people, evil people. And you should not lose all your faith paying attention to those people. God gives us a test in our Christian life. And we are listening to the message of the 10 plagues. And the 10 plagues is the curses fell upon the Egyptians. But we know that the 10 plagues didn't fall on the Israelites. And so the Pharaoh let them go. And even without fighting, they ran away from Egypt. And when they were standing before the Red Sea, they complained again, forgetting about the 10 plagues. But God gave them a chance, and seeing Moses' faith, God split the Red Sea and let him cross it. And such things happened several times. But these people made confessions without faith. So how could you receive blessings in your history of Ma'amin? What kind of words did you hear? And in the times of trial, did you lose your faith? If you were like the people who were confused, if you're like the people who ten spies, you have to examine and turn back. And the difficulties you are facing and hardships you are facing, or even though you don't have a disease, you may have aging. This is like a law of the physical world. Body is like a machine, so if you use it a lot, it gets worn out. This is the law of the physical realm. First, so this could be natural in terms of from personal physical perspective, but spiritually we have to, by faith we have to, but in order to for God to give such faith to us, we have to make a God-pleasing confession. I mean, even though you don't have a major sickness because of your big sin, I mean, and then God loves us with such great power. So if we just show so God worked for us with the power of equation. But did you say things that built a wall of sin? I mean, what would God say? You know, when you look at the Israelites, you may feel frustrated. You know, God protected from 10 plagues. God let them cross the Red Sea. God showed them such great and mighty works. And God showed him his great power. And then God sent the 10 spies to spy out the land, but they just made a physical report. And then God said, I don't like them. And then, but what about us? us. We have watched God's power. We have witnessed the living God, and that God is living, and that God loves our shepherd. You have witnessed it and experienced it. So what kind of faith, what kind of joy and thanksgiving did you have? If you have failed to do so, you have to discover that, and this is the key to receiving answers. God was pleased with this confession and fulfilled things according to their confession. Even though they could not enter the Canaan, Joshua and Caleb was able to enter Canaan. Their confession, God remembered their confession even after long years. So even the words you spoke in, many years ago, now today is related to today's blessing or curse. Another example is found in Matthew chapter 8, where we see the confession of a centurion. He came to Jesus seeking healing for his servant. Seeing the centurion's goodness, Jesus was willing to go with him and heal the servant. At this point, the centurion made an amazing confession of faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, he said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to the one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus complimented his faith, saying in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, "I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Then, even though Jesus did not lay his hands on the servant but simply spoke the word, the centurion saw the astounding work of his servant being completely healed according to his confession. This shows that a confession of faith can bring about works for far beyond human limits. God, whom we believe in, is great. Nothing is impossible with Him. He is the creator of all things. But this God, some people experience 10% of His power, other people 20%, still others 30%, and other people 50, others 80. But some people, even though they say they believe, they don't experience even 1% of God's power. They just lead a fleshly life of faith. They don't even believe the miracles in the Bible. They don't even believe the miracles. They don't believe that from the heart. So they just become a churchgoer, habitually go to church, and they don't really have true faith. And they are. And what about the centurion who was not a believer? He accepted it by faith, and he just asked Jesus to say the word. And he wisely made a confession of faith. Anyone would want to have such a faith like the centurion had. And if you commit sins and evil, if you live in sin and sin, such faith cannot be demonstrated. It doesn't just come. So in your hardship, you cannot show that kind of faith. How have you accepted and enjoyed God's work and in your Christian life? Think about that. Also, what kind of confession did the Syrophoenician woman from Mark 7 make? She earnestly asked Jesus to drive out the demon from her daughter. Yet unexpectedly, Jesus replied, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Hearing this, most people would have been offended and turned away instead of showing faith. And but this woman didn't. Instead, she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." She sought grace to the end with a humble confession. This woman could make such a confession because she had devotional love for her daughter, a firm desire to receive an answer, and unwavering faith that Jesus could solve her daughter's problem. Good confession came from her faith. Without faith, such confession can never come. And if you have evil, even though you try to prepare good words, you may say that once or twice, but as you reach your limit, you end up with evil words. But what about the Syrophoenician woman? Because she had goodness in her heart, even when Jesus spoke to her that way, she was not hurt, she was not offended, but she responded with good words, words of goodness and faith. That's why she was not hurt by Jesus' word. As she trusted him with an unchanging attitude, she was able to make a confession of goodness. Hearing this message, some of you may think, if any problem can be resolved by your words, receiving answers must be easy. So even without faith, they try to say, "I believe," or they try to memorize and recite good words while their heart is full of untruth. Some of you also may have tried that, because we know many good words from our fathers of faith. You find those words good, and you know that such words moved God, moved the Lord, and they received salvation. You know that, so you just recite and memorize those words physically and try to say them. But if your heart is not filled with the goodness, even if you memorize them, you cannot truly speak them. Your heart should be filled with the truth. Only then can you make a confession of faith, make confession of truth. But even if you, I mean, in their daily lives, they are filled with evil words, untruthful words and thoughts, complaints and grumbling. Yet, when they pray or seek a solution, they try to make a confession of faith or goodness. But our faithful God does not call such words confession of faith. We, human beings, may be deceived by such words, such good words. Even while you hate a person, you may compliment that person while you pretend to exalt another person. That person may think that you must be loving him, but it doesn't work with God. When you don't have faith and you try to learn the words and try to say it, and you always say evil words, but come to the church to pray and speak words of faith, that doesn't mean God answers you. A confession of faith must come from a believing heart and mind. They should remain constant, not believing one moment and doubting the next. Therefore, when our confession is proven true and our faith is shown to be genuine through evidence, we can receive God's answer. That means we face a difficult situation, a difficult trial, and then this is the moment we show our true faith. If the Syrophoenician woman had come merely with a fleshly faith, she would have been disappointed by his words, likening her to a dog. She would have failed to make a good confession and receive an answer. But because she had already possessed goodness, love, and true faith, she was able to overcome any test with a confession of faith and goodness and receive the answer. Seeing her goodness and great faith, Jesus said, "Go, the demon has left your daughter." She received the answer immediately according to her confession of faith. Likewise, no matter what trouble we face, if we come before God with a humble attitude and ask God with a sincere confession of faith, we can surely receive His answers. Some people seem to pray with good words, yet toward others, they express irritation and complaints and seek their own benefit. Please check yourselves. You may speak good words in prayer. You may sing beautiful words in praise, but what about your words in your daily conversation? You may say words of condemnation, judging, and then true confession comes from a true faith, but spiritual faith is given when we live even though you want to make such a confession, but you fail to do so, but check your heart, check your lips in your daily life, and God doesn't... God watches you in your daily life, not just when you go to church. If you forget about God in your daily life, why do you rely on God only when you're coming to church? Why only are you praying to God only when you're in trial? No, in your family, in your... whenever you have to ask... You may and then you come to Daniel prayer meeting and you say in your family, in your business, and whatever circumstance, you have to rely on God, to think about Him, don't forget Him. Then the words you spoke with goodness and love, some people seem to pray with good words, yet toward others they express irritation and complaints and seek their own benefit. What would God say about them? He would never call them good. Daniel's three friends also made a confession of goodness and faith that left God with no choice but to save them from death. So we also should cause God to say to us, "I have to help him." You have to make such confession of faith coming from your heart. Then how pleased God would be. Like when Deacon Stephen was dying, being stoned to death, he spoke good words and he only gave glory to God. And even And our Lord stood up from His throne, heavenly throne. He was standing when Stephen saw our Lord standing from His throne. Our Lord was looking at him with such an... So you also make such confession. And then you have to rely on Him, look to Him in your thoughts and words. And then God will work for you in advance, ahead of you. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon set up a golden image and commanded everyone to bow before it, but Daniel's three friends refused. Because of this, they were brought before the king. Being enraged, the king said in Daniel chapter 3, verse 15, "If you fall down and worship the image I have made, very well. But if you do not, you will immediately be cast into the blazing furnace, and what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" And God said, the king said that your life is in my hands. The God you are believing cannot help you. The life, your life and death depends on me. It depends on my word. This is what the king said. When the king challenged them harshly, the three friends boldly replied in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up." And there was like, if we obey, God will save us from death. They boldly made that confession. And they also said, even if He does not, even if He does not save us, O king, I will not serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. They declared, they showed no inch, no sign of compromising. So the king was enraged. And they were not afraid of the death before them or the blazing furnace at all, and made such an inspiring confession. Even if God wouldn't save them, they declared with their lips that they would never compromise. Hearing this, the king became furious and had him thrown into the blazing furnace, which was made seven times hotter than usual. But just as said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, "Let it be done to you according to your faith," God protected them so that they could survive without even a single hair singed. Seeing this, the king acknowledged that God is a true God and promoted the three men to even higher positions. They were thrown into the blazing furnace, but not even one of their hairs were singed. Does that sound possible? Yes, it is possible by God's power. This great God we are believing in, if you truly trust in Him, whatever trouble you may face, you don't have to feel sad. You don't have to stop praying. You don't have to complain. You don't have to lose faith. How could you show such behavior? So God would say, you actually didn't trust me. If you just forget about Him and start complaining, and some people just blame God. Why, God, did you leave us like that? Actually, they are not believing, trusting in Him. That's why they complain like that. God can never help them. You have to. So, how lovable that confession is, the Daniel's three confessions. So, God how God must have responded. He must have been delighted. God, who is abounding in love, not only keeps those who show faith from trouble, but also blesses them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, even 30, 60, and 100-fold. But how would you respond if you were faced with such a situation? Suppose your boss declares that everyone must go on an outing on Sunday. Would you not be concerned about your position, thinking, I'm a manager, what if refusing his order hurts my chances for promotion? Would you remove such thoughts and think, no matter what, I have to keep the Sabbath? No matter who he is, if someone imposes what goes against the truth, we have to firmly refuse it, and with faith that pleases God, speak good and wise words. When we act according to God's word this way, even if trials come, God will make things work together for good, as with Daniel's three friends, and let us receive blessings and give glory to Him. So, in your misunderstanding, in your persecution, what kind of confession did you make? I hope you examine yourself. And like, you may have you may not face persecutions like the Daniel's three friends, but there are people who may try to take away your faith, or some situations that causes your faith to waver. And but why? How joyful are you? How you have to re-examine yourselves in light of this, and then you will discover your shortcomings. Even if you listen to the moving confession of the Daniel's three friends, if you start hating others in your small trouble, if you don't realize that, and you may also, some people may say that, I will also make the same kind of confession like the Daniel's three friends in the same situation. But in your small trouble, you lose the fullness and have a change of heart. Would you be able to keep your faith in a life-threatening situation? And this church has gone through so many difficult trials. You know that. And on an individual level, we also went through the test of faith. There were times when we enjoyed and rejoiced over the manifestations of great power. And when trust, when trust works, when something tries to make your trust waver, your trust is proven. You have to check whether your trust for God has been wavered. Even though it was years ago, you have to, everything is recorded in what kind of words you spoke, what kind of evil words you spoke, what kind of words lacking faith, what kind of judging words, what kind of condemning words you spoke, and you didn't repent, and those wall of sin remain. If those wall of sin remain, when you go to heaven, your heavenly rewards may be reduced, or you may have. So far, we have looked at the importance of a confession of faith. Now let me introduce cases where a person brought harm upon himself through his words. First, we can consider Esau, the firstborn of Isaac. After working in the field and becoming extremely hungry, Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for a bowl of stew. And Jacob told Esau, I'm so hungry. Can you give me a bowl of stew? Esau did it to Jacob. Because Jacob was so, Jacob was asking for the birthright. And even though a person works all day long in the field, he didn't consider the birthright precious. He expressed it through his words. And Jacob was a wise man. And Jacob requested Esau to make a Esau didn't take it seriously. He didn't consider his birthright important, so he agreed that he sold his birthright to Jacob, and the birthright was handed to Jacob. There was an agreement between two. To Esau, it must have been nothing more than a passing word. It must have been a passing word. But at this point, the angels and God heard everything and knew it all. The positions of Esau and Jacob was very different. And Jacob took an opportunity, and they had an agreement. So the deal was made. The Esau didn't think it that way. Your words can be a trap. So the result came out exactly as Esau had spoken with his own lips. The blessing of the firstborn went to his younger brother Jacob. And you could have thought, and Jacob discussed with his mother, Rebecca, and he had such craftiness. And earlier, there was an agreement between Esau and Jacob. That's how it worked. The words of your lips, from Esau's point, it was unfair, but actually it was not unfair. A single word of yours can bring life or death. And the angels heard it, recorded it. Nowadays a written agreement is very important. It has a legal binding. And spiritually, the words of our lips has such effect. You have to know that. Keep this in mind. Esau cried aloud and bitterly regretted it, but it was too late to undo what had happened. Please remember the incident of Esau and remember what kind of the words of your lips can bring about some consequence or block God's answers and blessings. So I hope you always make a habit of making confessions that please God, rather than saying, it's impossible, I cannot do it. But instead, you can say, I will do my best. But that doesn't mean to say, I'm confident, I can do everything. That doesn't mean you have to exaggerate. It's bragging, not faith. You have That way you, for me, I'm not that confident person. I mean, even though I was good at something before, after years, I'm not confident that I'm good at, still good at it. I'm not that confident person, but I don't say negative words. So, years ago, I used to climbing. For example, if I go visit another mountain, I don't. And I'm not. And I'm rather a very cautious person, and not to. But instead, I try to say, if God helps me, I can do it. But without it, I cannot do it. So I don't confidently say that I can do it. But still, I rely on God because I cannot. But nowadays, people are filled with a lot of confidence, but that is not faith. Believing in God is faith. With God's help, we can do it, and we have to please God with that faith. And just because we say a lot of positive words, that doesn't mean A similar case appears in 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. The Aramean army had surrounded the city of Samaria for a long time, and the people went out of food. It got to the point where some even ate their own children. In that desperate situation, Prophet Elisha declared, "By this time tomorrow, flour and barley will be sold cheaply at the city gate." But the king's officer who heard this immediately dismissed it, saying, and even the king himself acknowledged Elijah, even when the Elijah prophesied, it sounded so the officer dismissed it, saying, even if the Lord opened the windows in heaven, could such a thing happen? Then Elijah prophesied to him, "You will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." The next day, an astonishing work of God took place. God caused the Aramean army surrounding Samaria to hear the sound of countless horses and chariots. Thinking that other nations had come to attack them, the Arameans panicked and fled, leaving behind all their clothing and food. When this news spread inside the city, the starving people rushed to the Aramean camp. The king placed the officer at the gate to maintain order, and he was trampled to death by the people rushing out in desperation. This was the result of ignoring the prophet's word. It happened just as the prophet declared, and it was a result of disregarding the remark from the prophet. Brothers and sisters, we must not utter words of complaint or resentment simply because we feel uncomfortable in the moment or fear immediate loss. Nor should we let our lips become foolish by judging and condemning others based on our own thoughts or the other's words, we must remember that every word from our lips brings about either the work of God or the work of the enemy devil. As I am leading the Daniel prayer meeting, I could not sleep for a few months, but nowadays I don't have that problem. I confessed, testified. It lasted a little longer than 3 months. God always gave me grace so that I can have a comfortable sleep, but in 2023, there were very stressful moments that I couldn't sleep well. But it was fine. It didn't matter at all. But this year, and around the summer retreat, I woke up every 2 hours, and I couldn't fall into deep sleep. I had to go to the bathroom often. So I prayed hard about it. So nowadays I don't have that problem. So this morning, when I woke up, how could I? It's such God's grace. I slept all night long, and then I woke up in the morning and go to the bathroom. I'm very thankful for that. But I have to add this thing. Why did this thing happen? Why did this happen? There was a reason. It was because of my words. I've turned 50. This year I've turned 50. I kept talking about my age. I kept talking about how old I am. I'm like 50. And because people offer to start the power praise, and I said, I'm already 50. How can I lead a power praise? And Brother Bo Seok Kim, senior pastor in overseas countries, even people with gray hair works as a praise leader. Actually, I said that several times. I actually thought about my age, considered my age, and I considered my age in my behavior, in how I spoke, and how I had such fleshly thoughts. I had thoughts like, I'm old enough, I'm too old to do that. So such words as these words are spoken, and as a result such symptoms began. This is also one of the signs of aging, like going to the bathroom very often in sleep. But this symptom lasted more than 1 week, 2 weeks, and 3 weeks. Sometimes, even after I woke up, I was very tired. And it caused me such great discomfort. And I searched online. It turned out that it was, and I prayed. And I prayed about that, but at some point, I realized that I made such confession, fleshly thoughts about aging, a confession about aging, but it actually became a habit, so I said it again. And so, I realized that God is not pleased with me mentioning aging or age. Even though I am 50, God has protected me, and God has kept me strong. because I continually talk about aging, I realize that I shouldn't talk about that. But as that symptoms lasted long, I kept it in my heart that I even over trivial things, I found myself saying, "Ah, because of my age, because of my age." So it resulted in such symptoms, not being able to sleep well. So I fixed such habit, and so nowadays I have no problem with sleeping. Nowadays, I don't even I sleep all night long, and so words of the lips is important. That determines whether we receive God's blessing or not. I also thought about the and also Shepherd, when he received the inspiration, and sometimes the sermon duration became longer, and he used to something he said, "Oh, I received too much inspiration. The sermon lasted too long." Even though he didn't complain, he said that. But one day, he had no inspiration at all. So he could not say add anything more. So his script was actually short. Actually, he always used to preach like for an hour, but because one day he didn't receive any inspiration at all, he was like, so the shepherd realized that he realized that he made a comment, and he repented, and it was not actually disregarding God. It was just a trivial, a little negative word, and I think you remember that the shepherd said that. Likewise, your words make a huge impact on you, and it determines whether you receive God's work or not. I thought about that. Without God's power, without God's help, how could I manifest the healing or bring down answers and blessing? And how could I help people realize His word? So I thoroughly repented, and so I resolved that problem. So I also realized once again how important it is to make confession. So keep this in mind. Don't say things that can create a trap. Yet many people quickly forget the wrong words they have spoken. So when trials or hardships come as a result of those words, they wonder, "Why am I facing such difficulties, such tests?" Nothing faces you without a reason. Therefore, as wise believers, you have to guard your lips at all times and fill your heart with goodness and faith, thereby letting your lips please God always. Let me conclude a message. Dear brothers and sisters, what happens if you leave fruit pills lying around or leave the dishes unwashed for even half a day? Fruit flies appear. Small, even when windows are tightly closed, if there's some smell or anything that attracts them, they will surely gather. The same goes for our words. When we speak evil or dirty words, judging, condemning, or gossiping, they result in quarrels, irritation, and the breaking of peace, bringing tests and trials. Contrarily, if we speak good words, words of forgiveness, gratitude, and testimony, love and joy begin to grow in us. And when we confess with faith and pray, our words bear fruits of answers and blessings. How could we use our important lips carelessly? From now on, our lips must serve as instruments bringing down God's answers and blessings. As you seek healing and answers today, I urge you to discover words that have created walls of sin, thoroughly repent of them, and change them into confessions of goodness and faith, thereby only receiving God's love. Through the words, please discover the words you have disheartened God, evil words. You have to remember them, repent of them, and you have to check whether you have a negative habit of speaking negative words. And now, please make sure to fix your habit. Even as you speak, you have to. So, I hope you.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently.
Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do.
Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.